Heute ist Freitag und damit Halbzeit beim International Journalism Festival in Perugia in Italien. Und ich habe mir heute als inspirierende Frau Irina Vidanova rausgepickt. Irina kommt ursprünglich aus Belarus und ist eine der wenigen Frauen, die den Mut hatten, ein eigenes Medienstartup aufzuziehen. Es heißt CityDoc und ist ein digitales Stadtmagazin in der belarussischen Hauptstadt Minsk. And now I will switch into English. So Irina, do you want to present yourself a little bit?
I'm an independent media publisher, founding publisher from Belarus. I have been doing this for the last 20 plus years. CityDoc is my third media outlet. Unfortunately, because of the location of where I'm running my media, it's the two previous media were shut down or repressed in one another way, and CityDoc, like many other independent media, or most of the independent media in the country, have been blocked and discriminated against after the 2020 presidential elections. But as most of us, we still continue publishing.
Can you tell us more about the metrics of CityDoc? So how many journalists are working there? What is your main target audience? How many people do you reach per month?
This has been all changing over the last 2.5 years. The magazine operated inside of the country until April 2022. So we were probably among the last independent media outlets which decided to relocate, and it was a very difficult decision to make. So we are now operating as a distributed team from different countries, but we still have people on the ground. So in terms of the numbers, we are a team of 15 people still. So this also means that we were able to preserve the team almost in full as it was when we were based in Belarus. We have some new people who joined and some people who left, mostly on the side of the commercial department, because our native advertising business model was destroyed by the crisis, by the economic crisis, political crisis, and by the whole change of the landscape. But otherwise, we are still this kind of medium-sized independent media outlet. As for the audience, this is probably the most dramatic change that we've observed, because we started as a Minsk City magazine, digital magazine, web-first, and we reached 1.5 million users per month, unique users per month in August 2020. And since then, not only we had to relocate, but also the majority of our audience, of our readers, also relocated to other countries, escaping from the repressions and fearing for their lives and health and freedom. So we started as a very targeted media where we basically knew our audience in every dimension, and the audience was very packed in one place, in one city, basically. And then now we moved towards having very fragmented audience, which is everywhere. And also, as the website is blocked, we still reach amazingly 500,000 people on the website, including people in Belarus, because they use VPN, they know how to circumvent. But we also had to rethink of ourselves from a web-first media to a multi-platform media, where we have to create content that package the content in a manner that it's being consumed on the natural social media platform of our users. So, for example, if you are on Instagram, an Instagram user, we don't try to drive you to the website, because the website might be blocked for you, but Instagram is still available. So we have to repackage all the content or think about the content in a way that you would consume it straight on Instagram, on Facebook or TikTok, so on and so forth. So overall, our monthly reach across different platforms now is about 3 million people.
And is there a perspective that, you know, the blocking procedure will stop somewhere in the future? So it's blocked all the time since 2020, right?
We were blocked among the last ones, I think, in August 2022. But because we were not a news media, so probably we were not in the front line of the blockings. But we knew that sooner or later we will be blocked. I don't see in the near future, or I don't operate on the assumption that the website will be unblocked. But it's also not only about the website being blocked, but also about the consumption habits of the people changing. For a 20 years old, website is something which basically doesn't exist anyway. It's not how younger people consume content anymore. And if you want to be an avant-garde, if you want to reach out to different people, you really have to let your web-first thinking go away for good. Still, website is an anchor platform where it's an archive of everything that we've created. But I don't think that we should be thinking that even if it's unblocked, that this will change our new philosophy.
Did also your revenue streams change? Because I think native advertising was one of the most important revenue streams in the past few years.
Yes, it did. We tried to work with native advertising up till the moment we decided to shut down the company in Belarus. But the economic crisis only deepened in the last 2.5 years. So there were less clients, less money. But also then there were sanctions imposed on Belarus, which also means that trans-border operations, bank operations, are impossible anymore. So as the model itself is still working, we still run some native advertising content, but the clientele base changed completely and the economic situation changed completely. So we are now more dependent on non-commercial income, let's put it this way, with the help of international organizations. But again, we understand it's not a very sustainable model. So finally now, after this 2 years of intensive crisis management, we are considering different ways of monetization which could work in this new setting.
According to your point of view, how difficult is it to start a media venture in Belarus in comparison to other countries in Europe?
Today it's impossible. 11 years ago, when we had this idea of creating an independent but commercially sustainable, self-sustainable magazine, many of my colleagues thought that we were completely crazy, and I think we were in some way, but I also think there was an opening at that time, and what happened in those 7-8 years after 2012, as there was the market was more open, and there were more opportunities for media in Belarus while keeping on their mission, also become somewhat the business entities. In 2020, the story ended.
In Germany, we heard a lot about the protests in Belarus like two and a half years ago, leading by women. It's super similar to the situation in Iran. So how is the situation right now?
Inside of the country, things are happening, but under the ground. And I wouldn't even talk about it because whatever I say might be used to persecute those who are still there. But I can also say that the solidarity networks are still in place and they are led and run by women mainly. But also those women who took up the leadership roles during 2020, the political, cultural, media, every other level, they are still very active. And there are lots of amazing projects run by Belarusian women inside of the country, but also outside of the country. And Svetlana Tikhanovskaya remains the democratic leader of Belarus. And she's done an amazing job of trying to help Belarus to still achieve this dream of becoming democracy one day. It's work in progress, but it's being done and being done in many ways, by many means, by women.
And do you have any assumption how this will happen, you know, that Belarus will become a democracy?
I don't think that there is any plan or any vision that anybody could share right now, especially given the war in Ukraine factor, which affects Belarus and Belarusians a lot. on top of dealing with our own internal problem. I can't predict, but as a historian by training, I know that what might feel like a very long period of time for us at the personal level, historically, it's quite a short period still to think of, okay, everything is lost. I believe, and I see signs of it, that the changes that happened in the mentality of the Belarusian society in August and since August 2020 are irreversible. There are many facts that can support it, but it would be a very long interview. But in general, I think it's really a question of time, of resilience, and of us not giving up on the hope. This is hard, but it is possible. So I think that while you can feel certain despair and even disappointment that things did not change the way we hoped back in 2020 or in 2021, historically, I believe that they will change, and pretty soon, maybe sooner than any of us thinks.
So City Dog is a city magazine, as I mentioned. Did you also cover the Russian war against Ukraine? And if so, which kind of angle did you choose for your stories?
As I said, we are not a news media, so we didn't see it fit for our audience to constantly run updates on the developments of the war. So from the start of the war, we took this angle of selecting, analyzing, and explaining how the war impacted Belarusians and our audience from all the sea of information. This was especially relevant for the first period of war. Then we also saw, as many other media outlets, that there was a certain fatigue among Belarusian audiences about general, very negative news agenda inside of the country, but also in Ukraine. So we were focusing always, and especially in the last 2.5 years, on human stories, on inspirational stories, on building solidarity. The government also does everything, the Belarusian government, to disunite Belarusians or even to incite certain fightings and struggles between those who stayed and those who left. So we also rethought ourselves from a Minsk City magazine to a magazine about Belarusians everywhere. So we see ourselves as a platform where people can come together, see that life continues, provide them a certain sense of normality, because no matter what happens, every day goes by day, and you have to live this life to the fullest as it's possible, and to help yourself to go through this crisis, and for your family, and for other people as well. So one thing that we focused on more recently is providing psychological support and content of this kind to Belarusian audiences, and also focused a lot on the impact of the war and of the continuous repressions in Belarus.
Panel today was named How Today's Media Can Prepare for the Crisis of Tomorrow. So what is the answer to the question?
I'm afraid there is no answer that will fit everyone. And we talked about 50 minutes about this from perspectives of different countries, but still sharing a lot of similarities. I would say that while you have to be preparing for crisis, it shouldn't stop you from living and from doing what you are doing. Because if the only thing that lives in your mind is how am I going to survive the crisis, what should I do, or what will happen next, then you are dysfunctional. So I would, on top of everything that was said on the panel and probably will be available online, I would just say that it's very important to continue living every day and seeing positive things, and believing that the bad times will be over, and then, you know, you have to preserve yourself for these times as well.
What is the biggest challenge for City Dog at the moment?
Staying upbeat and optimistic.
And what is the perspective for the next 6 to 12 months?
I think we will have to continue operating in the mode that we are now. Maybe we, like many other Belarusians, we were naive to think that this might be over first in 3 months and in 6 months. So now it's also meeting with the reality of the fact that it might also take months, if not years. But I think everybody just expects for the moment when we can come back as a media, as a team to Belarus, to Minsk, and continue what we are doing there.
Thank you very much for your time, Irina.
Thank you for interview.